Let us pray. God of good news and mystery, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Have you ever watched someone demonstrate something that obviously takes skill, yet they can make it look effortless? Somehow these folks are able to capture a landscape in just a couple of brush strokes, or repeat a tune after only hearing it once. It's actually a pretty cool sight to behold. It's a delight, really. It seems that whatever the secret sauce is in performing a skill with such effortless know-how, these folks have somehow figured it out. Yet, even and despite all skill and best laid plans, sometimes what is envisioned doesn't come to fruition as we anticipate. Mystery has a way of breaking through everywhere, and we cannot always interpret or predict or prepare for its coming. The faith that we proclaim gives us a new perspective on life, and one that has a marvelous sense of mystery. So does this mean that we ought to be at ease with not having all the answers? Take the kingdom of God, for example, or reign of God, if you prefer, which we are supposed to be moving towards, or are we there already? Jesus said it's near, even inside us. So is it here? Do we carry it around with us? He didn't describe it as a place, so what is it? A spiritual dimension, a state of mind, a way of being, a way of seeing the world? Jesus didn't define it geographically with a set of coordinates, nor in the kind of divinity's terms in we may prefer. Instead, he used parables. Why? I almost want to cry in frustration with today's gospel lesson. Speak plainly, Jesus. Give us some indication of what the kingdom or reign of God is. Don't keep speaking in circles. Boy, what I wouldn't have given to have been a fly on the wall when Jesus was explaining everything to his disciples in private. Jesus's parables spark imagination and frustration alike, because parables speak around things and not directly about them. So we, you and I, are left to puzzle, and the daring among us attempt an interpretation of them that, when we are honest, we know often falls short. Perhaps because they are open to a variety of interpretations to help us realize the many aspects of God's reign, which expands even as our understanding of it expands. The idea of God's reign constantly expanding and growing fits well with images of Paul's letter to the Corinthians concerning the new creation and of seeds growing and evolving miraculously into lush bushes from our gospel story. Before folks had figured out how plants grow, the wonders of nature, disease, and health were just that. Awesome wonders that were full of mystery. Fast forward several centuries, and the world now has a deep and growing understanding of botany and agriculture and let's not forget the scientific method, which has served as a breakthrough for various medical treatments and cures. Having spent several years working and studying in the field of nursing and the sciences, mystery is not something I particularly feel at home with. And to be honest, I'm a little embarrassed to admit that to y'all. For myself, mystery is a liminal, sometimes upsetting and frustrating space. And darn it, I like answers. You know, something I can hang my hat on, something concrete. And as I try to probe the meaning of our biblical texts, once I seem to answer one question, more pop up. For example, who is it that scatters the seed? And what is the harvest anyway? Could the sower be Jesus? The seed, the good news he came to share? We know Christ died for us, but what exactly is the new creation? 2 Corinthians says, everything old has passed away. Everything old has passed away. Does that mean there is nothing left of the old ways? Nothing? Not even the old that we may perceive as good? Questions, questions, and more questions. When I was at Sermon Circle earlier this week, a delightful and interesting word was brought forth within our group. The word was befuddlement. It was noted that so much of what we do in Sermon Circle is spent in a state of befuddlement. It's true, we do. And what befuddles the mind? Mystery. In Paul's letter, he speaks of walking by faith, not by sight. An allusion to the new body, the new creation. It seems that Paul's letter announces that God's new creation and reconciliation has begun, and we're all caught up in it. And friends, this is extraordinarily good news, because it means that even in the midst of our ongoing befuddlement, confusions, and sufferings, we can trust that God's reconciling power will prevail. The new creation is no vain hope. We have faith that through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, our destiny is unbreakably tied into God's reign and plan for the entirety of creation. A world created, sustained, and reconciled by the love of Christ. Yet, even with the strongest of faith and trust, we are all human, and part of being human is asking questions and being in a state of befuddlement. Certainly the disciples didn't see it or get it in Mark's gospel. They remained blissfully clueless until the end, even after Jesus was raised from the dead. They did not understand and were afraid for most of the time. But in the end, a new Jesus movement began that has swept the world and changed it with God's love. There's more to these parables than meets the eye indeed. The disciples had Jesus with them, explaining everything to them, and still they did not get it. How in the world can we hope to do better? And yet, we don't have to, at least not according to these texts. God is bringing God's reign, God's harvest, God's mustard seed and new creation, despite all our lack of understanding, despite the fact that we often don't get it, or when we think we do, we sometimes get it wrong. Jesus speaks in parables as a mercy to us, really, when it comes down to it. He tells us enough to get us on board, to hold out a vision for a different world in which God's kingdom or reign will indeed become the reality for all creation, even though we don't see it at every given moment. And we participate in that vision as we grow in God's love and live in God's forgiveness and grace. For now, we live it. The fullness of understanding will come later. This is all very difficult for me, and I'm wondering if it is for you too. I want to understand. I want to know. I want to see. And yet, I cannot comprehend it in its fullness. So for now, we trust and remain faithful that without our knowing or understanding in full, God's reign is taking shape. God's name is being hallowed. God's will is being done, even as we pray every day. For now, we will simply have to trust that what looks small and ineffective at the moment will become something greater than we can ever imagine. And in trusting, we begin to participate in the very reign that's growing and becoming God's love in the world. The word of God is not something we can apply the scientific method to in hopes of dissecting and bringing forth the full understanding. The Gospels are unique, living word beyond our human capacity to fully grasp, and full of mystery. Yet, we are called to participate in the wonders and surprises of the good news. God is calling you. How will you respond?